Okay, well, I know several of you have already mentioned to me how much you've enjoyed and been profited by just the first couple of sessions. So, Chris, come on back up and encourage us in the aspect of Thanksgiving in our prayer life.
Leaving a time of confession is often results in, I think Chris Anderson wrote it in his Robes for Mind, the phrase, in joyful grief. You know, he's kind of how do those two things coexist? And there is that joyful grief of saying, yes, I've had to come before God again. And yet, because of his character, I'm forgiven. And there's a joyful grief that I think is a wonderful thing for us to be experiencing, because it doesn't cause us just a joy that somehow we got away from sin alone. There is a grief to understand the ramifications of it and the price paid. And we stand in awe again of his grace and mercy. If you look at Thanksgiving, thankfulness is a pervasive theme of Scripture, especially when speaking of our disposition toward God and his people. The end of Colossians 3 ends up with three or four different designations of thankfulness, of everything God is doing, you know, and be thankful and sing this way with thankfulness. And it keeps coming up. This is a general disposition of a believer, is one of thankfulness, because anybody who is a recipient of grace is a person who is thankful. And everything we see happening that has any good to it, we know it's of grace. We know it's not of us. So therefore, we live a life of thankfulness, whether it's what God provides. If you have a right relationship, he tells in Colossians 3, then be thankful. You know, come together and be thankful that God is causing that kind of unity. And so we thank him for that. This should also be pervasive in our prayer. When we say God, or we say Jesus, we mention God's people. When I say the words Heritage Bible Church to you, when I hear the words Hampton Park Baptist Church, I think it's quick to take an inventory of what arises in my thinking and emotions. Just what is my general response when I hear things concerning God and the people of God with whom I'm most closely associated? We're going to see that it should be thankfulness, predominantly. When you hear the name of Jesus, I mean, there ought to be thank you on our lips from the very beginning. We understand the character of God and we say, thank you. When we mention God's people, sometimes there's a pause before the thank you. We're kind of taking a quick catalog. Say, really? And it is difficult. We're a bunch of messed up people in need of redemption every day. We cross each other. We say stupid things. And yet my thankfulness for you is not based on your merit either. My thankfulness for you is the fact that your merit is in Jesus Christ, with whom I am supremely thankful, and that you are identified closely through his shed blood and faith. And I say, thank you. And we're going to take a look at a few of those passages Paul offers prayer of thankfulness for believers in just a moment. Thankfulness, putting into words the gratitude that swells up within our hearts whenever we consider his wise, just, and gracious deeds. The difference between adoring and thankfulness is very thin. Basically, I think of it this way for my own categories. Adoration is giving praise to God for who he is. And thankfulness is giving praise to God for what he has done. So we have the character of God and the works of God, and I tend to look at thankfulness as a response to his works and the things that he has done. So begin looking at a few prayers again of those who offered up thanksgiving to God for what he has done. Isaiah 25. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. Why? For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. This tells us not just that God has done great things, but he tells us the nature of the things that he does. Nothing is an afterthought for God. The things that we are thanking him for are formed of old. They're formed of old. And they're faithful. And not only did they have, they're not an afterthought, but they have far-reaching ramifications forever. They are sure. They are sure. So I know when God acts in ways, I look at his deeds, they are so purposeful that by the very fact that I can attribute it to God, I should be thankful because he's behind it. And so that again goes back to thanking him for, we already looked at his sovereign nature, but for his sovereign wisdom. To know that I am thankful for God working in my life because he is sovereignly wise in all that occurs. And therefore, that in itself brings about thankfulness. We are told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, pray without ceasing, and connected to that, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It tells us very clearly to give thanks in all circumstances, not only for his sovereign wisdom that is behind all the plans that happen and what God brings to pass, but also thankful for our ordained circumstances that we are in the middle of experiencing. And I'm to be thankful for that. Why? For it is the will of God concerning me. That God is having his way, that he, those plans from old that are sure are being played out in my life and in your life, and therefore, just as I try to instruct my son, that, hey, you know, if someone gets sick, that's God's unfolding for your life, and if you have a problem, you have a problem with him. Rather than readjusting, say, God, thank you for whatever you're going to do. And that's the hard part of thankfulness, because we don't always know where it's going to go. But God does. God knows exactly where it's going to go. And I wish I could even offer you the assurance that, and then later one day when you find out where it went, you can be thankful. That does happen, but there's still those things that you will die and still have no idea why that happened. That we may praise Him more fully in glory. And I still think there are things that God reserves unto Himself because He's allowed to do that. So ultimately, I appeal back to His character that because He did it, I thank him for it because his plans are from old and they're sure. So as those now come to bear on my life, I am to be thankful as I have to encounter those first person. Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the nations. For what purpose? That we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. This is much like Peter says in 1 Peter 2 that we were passed from darkness to light. We who are not a people are now a people. Why? To the praise of His glorious grace that we may tell forth His excellencies. And so we are thankful for His saving work toward us. His plans are from old. They are ordained for us individually. And one thing that we in this room are affirming together is that has involved by our testimony together a saving work toward us, for which we are eminently thankful. God is to be praised to save us. And again, to save us, why? Save your people toward what end? That we may give thanks and glory in your name. So it's interesting that the natural response to your salvation is thankfulness. And thankfulness is the purpose for which God saved you, ultimately. And God calls us to a task and says, your job is to proclaim my excellencies. Your job is to sing forth my praises. Your job is to be thankful for my name's sake. That's not hard to do when you understand what he's done. So he's asking us to do the natural consequence of what it means to be saved, and that is to be thankful. That's why we have hearts of thankfulness toward that. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. He's recounting his relationship with these Thessalonian believers. And so it's not that we just offer thanks that we have been recipients of salvation, but we must thank him for his saving work toward others as well. This is why we pray and we thank God for what he's doing, not only in our lives, but in the lives of his people. This is why when I do say the words Heritage Bible Church to you, or for when I hear Hampton Park Baptist Church for me, but my first response ought to be thankfulness, because this is a group of people being gathered together on the basis of the person and work of Jesus Christ, for which I am thankful. And I'm not just thankful for seeing what God's doing in my life, but it's a joy to see that what I'm experiencing isn't just me. It's what God's people experience. I'm not engaged in something that is just individual, but what he does for me, he does for all his people. And when I see even an inkling of that happening in another life, I praise God for it and I am thankful. And I don't know what kind of encouragement it is to you. I know it is to me. Sometimes just out of the blue, someone will come up and say, I thank God for you. And I'm like, why? You know, and they'll just tell me because I see what God's doing in your life. And that to me is, again, it's from within the body, another reassurance that I am born of God. Somebody saw fruit. I'm glad they did because sometimes I'm having a hard time seeing it. But God impressed it upon their heart enough to tell me, hey, I thank God for you. And if we thank God for other people for the things He's doing that really count, there could be a lot of things we could thank God for each other about and get past some of the other preferences that exist within anybody. You know, I don't have to have a guy line up in every area of preference with me for me to go and say, brother, I thank God for you because of the faithfulness I see in your service. I don't have to mention anything about the way he dressed, what music he listened to be thankful for him. But too often we're going to focus on the difficulties that we all have in any kind of church dynamic. Just be thankful. Primarily because they belong to the same Savior and the recipients of the same grace as you. Be thankful. Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I'm to have this thankfulness about me. That means even in a time of need, the anxiousness needs to subside. Because I'm coming to Him in prayer and supplication. We're going to look at the next hour. But with thanksgiving, how can I have thanksgiving as I'm making a request? Because I've looked at all the past deeds of God. Why would I have any reason to think He's going to be different this time? He's come through so many times and demonstrated His wisdom in so many ways. Why do I think this is going to be different? The human limitations we have concerning time and foreknowledge, God has none of that. God has none of that. He will always be wise. Therefore, we don't have to be anxious, but we can come in an anxious time with thankful hearts before our God in prayer because we thank Him for His past providence. His past providence sets the course for what's going to happen for the rest of our experience with Him. Ephesians 5:20. Again, Paul doesn't leave any wiggle room here. Giving thanks always and for everything. Okay, does that leave anything out? You know, no, it's always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, which means not only are we thanking Him for His past providence, but in this case, it's pervasive. It's just kind of how you live your life. You have a constant attitude of thankfulness for everything God brings, and there are those difficult things, but again, you know the source. You know how He's in control of His plans that He laid forth from old, and they are sure. Even the most difficult thing of saying, thank you, God. I'm a thankful person because of who you are to me. So now what? Offer thanks for your salvation and the salvation of those with whom you pray in just a moment. I mean, take some time and not only relish in the salvation you have, but think about the brothers you're praying with. And each one of those is an incredible miracle of people who looked at the gospel of Jesus Christ, some for many, many years, and they called it one thing, foolishness. It's dumb. It makes no sense. It's for the weak. That each person you're sitting with, at some point, God got deep into that person's heart, and what they called foolishness, one day they said, wisdom. Wisdom! Give thanks to God for doing what none of us could have done. I so badly wish I had the kind of rhetoric that could sit down with a person and make them call that foolishness wisdom. I really wish I could. But all I do when I sit down is I just keep saying, foolishness, 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 foolishness. Got anything else? No, got more foolishness. It's when God now says, yeah, what He's saying is actually wisdom. So relish in the work of God in each other's life. And thank God for your salvation and those with whom you pray. Offer thanks for two or three specific good things God's graciously given to you. And that shouldn't take us long, right? We say, count your many blessings, right? It should be easy. Just think of two or three things that just come readily to mind and thank Him for it. And I have one exception to that song, by the way. It shouldn't surprise us what the Lord does, right? It should be expected. It is surprising to us because of who we are. It's not surprising for Him. So that song is more about our hearts in that sense. Lastly, offer thanks for God's display of sovereignty in your life. And that's connected to this last question. I want you to ask this question as you pray in just a moment. I asked myself this question while I was preparing for it. I didn't like it. Is there something for which you have not given thanks to God? Although you acknowledge God's good purpose in it. Is there that thing that you kind of accept? Yeah. But is there something you've yet to thank Him for it and get past that hump? You just say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. One thing I have trusted God with, and this week as I was working through this, my wife and I worked through some of this together. My younger son that I mentioned already, he's got some real serious speech issues. And that's weird for me. I'm a speechy person. Right? I make my life using my mouth. It's like being a musician, you have a deaf son. It's a weird... I'm so used to being so verbal, and I have someone I can't be very verbal with. Such releasing thing to say, thank you. Because God has taught me more through that than I can even imagine. And not just to say I accept it, but thank you. And you know what makes it all the more sweeter? As he is growing in his knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have a person who's limited in speech that when they finally start speaking, to hear them say something to the praise of God. We can be thankful for that. So I just want you to be, as you go into prayer, is there something you've just kind of accepted? Yeah, I know God has a purpose in it, but you've yet to be thankful for it. I want you to be thankful for that today.
All right, let's break up into our small groups again for the next 10 minutes or so. And guys, here's a great thought. You read the book of Revelations, and there are many activities of the saints. One of them is thanksgiving, the giving of thanks. So we're actually, as is often the case in our Christian lives, we're practicing something right now in preparation for what we're going to be doing for all eternity. So let's give God thanks. Lord, again, we want to give you the thanks for which you are due, and we continue to ask that you might create in us attitudes of gratitude. Help us not to forget your benefits and to be able to allow our joy in you, which often results from us giving you honor through the giving of thanks, to be our strength as we seek to serve you. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.